Blog Talk Radio.
All day, nigga. Yeah. Hey. Hey. All day, nigga. How long you niggas bob, bob? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How many runners do you got on call? All day, nigga. How long they keep you on call? All day, nigga. Take you to get this fly? All day, nigga. Tell you see your house. All day, nigga. This shade, nigga. Shopping for the winner and the chess main, nigga. Ball so hard, man, the shit cray, nigga. He ain't getting money that you got 8 figures. But at these piece, man, I been say, nigga. Just fought the fair con, that's 10th day, nigga. Told him I been on 10 since the 10th grade, nigga. Got a middle finger longer than the 10th grade, my nigga. I don't let them play with me. I don't let them talk to me no kind of way. They better watch what they say to me. Niggas still getting popped on the day to day. Y'all still got the 100 with a small face, nigga. My spend 50 racks in my off day, nigga. You a fake DNZ like the all say, nigga. If you're running to me, better have off say. You a rigor suave, nigga. Round round, listen to Sade, nigga. If you ain't with us, you an our way, nigga. You a actor, you should be on Broadway, nigga. Did you do shit to Broadway, nigga? Your bitch got an ab, I'm a Broadway sticker. Late for the class in the hallway, nigga. You the dropout at it as always, nigga. As always. All day, nigga.
I took the young creepers. Now reaching to my head.
All day, nigga. How long you ball? All day, nigga. How much time you spent at the mall? All day, nigga. How long it take you to get the fly, fly? All day, nigga. Take your P.O. How long you been high, high? All day, nigga. Post some henno for my niggas that died. All day, nigga. And I keep a bad bitch on the patch of the side. All day, nigga. Already know I'm safe for the shot. All day, nigga. Chop. All day, nigga. I can do this all day, boy. Woo. I'm finna turn this bitch out. Any day, yay, in the streets, boy. Woo. It been a motherfucking draft. Don't really matter what I made, boy. Woo. You know I still go wild. Like a light-skinned slave, boy. Woo. We in the motherfucking house. Right now. Looking real stuff right now. I swear I've been on the fly. Like, I'm off right now. Super niggas getting money for a stump right now. Shout out to Jackie Chan, I need to stump right now. They be looking at the gram, I be looking at the Grammys like, that sucks right now.
Right now.
24-7, 365 days, everybody getting paid.
Go crazy.
Niggas looking at me like I'm worth both them J's. People saying, yay, yay, take it easy. 20 G's for the Yeezys off of eBay. Niggas do the most and they ain't done shit. Only way I can sum it up, some bitch. All day, nigga.
I took the young sweepers and I reached into my shirt. Gave him what I had left. At that moment, I dispersed. At that moment, I dispersed.
Kill up, kill up, kill up.
All day, nigga.
Good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday. This is a NDMRL production, Dollhouse Radio.
You're listening to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. I'm here with my co-host, Martin C., but have been told that Martin is not with us as of yet. That does not mean, as I always say, that does not mean that he will not be here with us, but time will tell. So in the meantime, we're going to go into our Dollhouse announcements with our executive producer, Angela Royal. So here are our Dollhouse announcements.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We are live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out all about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily on the Dollhouse Radio website or the Hot Sugar Instagram page at IG_HotSugar. We are home of the indie artists. We play majority indie music and very few major artists. Indie artists, if you're interested in getting your music in rotation on Dollhouse Radio, email your submissions to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promo photo, and your music in MP3 format, or purchase one of our promo packages available to you on our website. Businesses and promoters looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at briandollhouseradio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Audrey Joel, Takara Hamilton, Spliff Star, Griffith the One, Lone Star J, Feta, and Heroin. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at Dollhouse_radio. And be sure to sign up on our mailing list on the website. And now, back to your program.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morel's Dollhouse Radio. Okay, our topics tonight are going to be, the first topic is going to be the anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown. And the second topic will be Black Lives Matter. Is the phrase racist? So going into our first topic, but first before I do that, let me give out our calling number here, which is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And when you do call in, I'm suggesting that you wait for the prompter to tell you to press 1 if you want to speak to the show host. Okay, so again, if you want to speak on the show, you must press 1 once the automated voice prompts you to do so. So that said, we're going to go into our first topic, anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown. And as we know, 1 year ago today was when that teenager, 18-year-old Michael Brown, was shot and killed there in Ferguson, Missouri, by that police officer, Daniel, well, let me get his name correct. His name escapes me right now, but I have been reading it almost like all day. But I have it here in the article, Darren Wilson. I got thrown off when I said the wrong name, Daniel. Daniel is neither here nor there. But I was going to say that Daniel is a somewhat peaceful-sounding name. And I couldn't relate anything with peace concerning this guy, Darren Wilson. Interesting. That's what completely threw me off. His name became a blank, but Darren Wilson is the name of the police officer who did shoot and kill Michael Brown last year at this time, which happened to have been 9 August last year. So I have an article here in front of me. It's unfortunate that I have the whole article here off the internet. Just saying my printer is down, so I couldn't really highlight out certain specifics of the article that were pertinent to what I'm wanting to say here. But anyway, here, the article says that 1 year after the shooting that cast greater scrutiny on how police interact with black communities, the father of slain 18-year-old Michael Brown led a march in Ferguson, Missouri today after a crowd of hundreds observed 4.5 minutes of silence. Now, the 4.5 minutes of silence are no doubt attributed to the length of hours that Michael Brown lay out in the sun after having been shot and killed by Darren Wilson. And him having been out there, just laying out there dead, is really what got a lot of attention to this situation. Because it seems like if he had been, how can I put it, they had called the coroner's vehicle to come and claim the body, I mean, perhaps we would not have heard of it as we came to have heard of it. Because I recall last year at this time, I was on my computer and I was on Facebook, and a Facebook friend of mine had posted that particular clip, which had been uploaded to YouTube by someone in the Ferguson area. And my first thought was, what's this about? And then as I began to read the caption, it began to state that this is something that just took place today, on that day, and this guy had been shot and killed and was just left laying out there for 4.5 hours. Just outrageous. That's the only word I can think of, just outrageous. But to put more emphasis on that word, I'll just say out motherfucking rageous. I mean, they wouldn't even let a dead dog lay out there for that length of time. I mean, roadkill. As soon as they know about it, they go and retrieve that that carcass. But here was, you know, individual, human being, left out there to fester. We can use the word fester in that hot sun. I'm quite sure it's quite hot down there in Missouri in August, because that's closer to the south than New York is. And it's hot down there, I'm quite sure, in Missouri. So his body was just lay out there to fester in the boiling sun, I guess we could say. And no effort was made to cover it up. It one can say that it may have seemed like more effort was being made to cover up the crime. We can call it a crime, but to be a bit how can I put it, to be a bit more discreet, to cover up what happened. I mean, later on, it in fact come to be seen that it was in fact a crime, as all the details began to come forward. But alas, this Darren Wilson, he wasn't charged with a crime. That's another issue there, but that we'll get into that as we go on further into this situation. So further, the article says that those who gathered, wait, let me get this correct here, okay? My computer is jumping around. Those who gathered to commemorate, wait, let me get it straight. Those who gathered to commemorate Brown began their silence at 12:02 p.m., the time he was killed, for a length of time that symbolized the 4.5 hours that his body lay in the street after he was killed. And it also says that two doves were released at the end of the occasion, I guess, symbolizing peace, I guess, because in even the Bible, they talk about doves being symbolic of peace. But the article goes on to state that two doves were released at the end. It says that police largely remained away from the ceremony. But, you know, concerning the police having remained away from the ceremony, earlier in the week, I do recall having read or passingly seen something that the police had done. I think it was there in Ferguson, Missouri, in reference to Michael Brown and the anniversary, the upcoming anniversary. It was something negative that they had done. And like I said, I seen it on the internet, but I kind of skimmed over it. And at this point, I kind of wish that I had went out and read it. So therefore, I can put it out there to you all what it was that the police there in Ferguson, Missouri, had done as their commemorating the upcoming memorial for the date commemorating Michael Brown's death. They did something that was just, I will say, typical of them. And furthermore, typical of the racist mindset, which is totally ridiculous and just outright infuriating. I mean, the only person, in my opinion, that the racist mindset isn't infuriating to is another racist. it's just like that. Okay, and further, the article goes further to say that Michael Brown Sr. held hands with others to lead the march, which started at the site where his son, who was black and unarmed, was fatally shot by Ferguson officer Darren Wilson. And then it goes on further to talk about how the grand jury declined to prosecute Wilson, and you know, all that we now know took place. Just horrendous, just absolutely horrendous. And then it goes on further to say that he had thanked supporters before the march for not allowing what happened to his son to be swept under the carpet, which it was not, because evidently it was per this incident, unlike the other incidents, that the movement Black Lives Matter got started. That's what I'm reading now, but I'm really wondering if it wasn't at the Trayvon Martin incident that this movement got started. But but from what I'm reading, it was after the killing of Michael Brown, wherein Black Lives Matter became the hashtag. Because I recall at one point the hands up, don't shoot thing was mostly being said. And with that said, let me not get carried away in speaking, because I think we're going to be going into a music break. Let me see what's going to happen here, because I don't want to overtalk. Okay, yes, we are going to have a music break, and we're going to hear a song from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. So this is Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. Here on Indy Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. Our call-in number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you want to talk on the show, wait for the prompter to tell you to press 1 to speak on the show. So, with that being said, that song we just heard was from Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. Again, that's Sheree Lurie entitled Mirage. And we're going back into our issue here, the anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown there in Ferguson, Missouri last year at this time. And as I was last saying per this article here, his father was thanking the people at the function for not allowing his son's death to be swept under the carpet, under the rug, either or, same thing. And the article goes further to say that the lawyer, the Brown family lawyer, also spoke and had said that, excuse me, you knew in your gut that the shooting wasn't right, and you knew what the officer did was unjustified. Well, that's interesting that he would say that, primarily because basically everybody, I almost want to say everybody who is anybody knew in their heart and gut that the shooting wasn't right and that the shooting slash killing was unjustified. Yet, however, there were, I guess, many others, I guess, who weren't anybody but were somebody because their word trumped what everyone else seemed to know and feel in their heart and in their gut, that the shooting wasn't justified and was wrong. But being that Darren Wilson wasn't indicted, those who weren't anybody but was somebody, it is what it is and isn't what it isn't. He's still out there walking around free. But it's just a wonder to me as to, well, I say it's a wonder, but I guess in this sense I'm being somewhat rhetorical, because it's not even a wonder to me, because in this day, I more so know than not know that racism is alive and well in our country and throughout the world. But throughout the world, that's another issue. But in our country, this is where I dwell at. And this is a situation, how can I put it, and it's here that I dwell mostly on this situation. Granted, there was a time when I wasn't in this country, I was in another country, and then that's where my focus on racism was. But that's another issue there. I'm back here now. So the focus is here again now. So as I was saying, I mean, it's no wonder to me, not in this day, that people would think as they thought, in allowing Darren Wilson to not be charged at all with any crime whatsoever. And it's not surprising to me also that Darren Wilson feels that he did no wrong. I mean, some might think that sure he knows, sure he feels in his heart of hearts that he did wrong. But I beg to differ. No, he does not. Primarily because those of a racist mindset, as I've said before, again and again and again, such people have no compassion when it comes to black people. I'm not talking about other people, because that's another issue, or those are other issues. But I'm talking primarily about black people, because I am black. And I, too, have experienced this nonsense. And all I can say is I'm not having it. When they bring that stuff my way, I handle it in any way that's proper to handle it. I'm not going to say that I go all out. No, I don't, because when they bring it to me, they don't go all out. But my response to that racist nonsense that's brought my way, I handle it in a proportional manner or fashion. In other words, I exert the force, pressure, power necessary to repel that nonsense. And that's what I do, because like I say, I'm not having it. Honestly not. So going back into what I was saying, I can understand, you know, those people not convicting Darren Wilson of any wrongdoing or crime, because in their minds, he did nothing wrong. There was no crime committed, primarily because they didn't see Michael Brown as a human being. They saw him as, well, I don't know what they saw him as because I'm not in their heads. But I do know this. They didn't see him as they would see their own child, their own family member. They didn't see him in that light. They couldn't have to have rendered the decision that they did in reference to Darren Wilson. No way at all. And like I said, Darren Wilson himself didn't see Michael Brown as he would see someone who looked like himself, a family member of his brother, his cousin, his friend. He didn't see Darren Wilson. I mean, he didn't see Michael Brown as he would see those people I just mentioned as they relate to Darren Wilson. So, still here in the article, it also says here that he said his family still grieves, but he believes his son's legacy can be seen in the increased awareness of police shootings and renewed skepticism when officers describe their side of events leading up to those shootings. And that is true. Well, more so true than not true. Because we can say, I think I'm correct in saying that that guy in Brooklyn, or was it Staten Island? I forget his, Eric Garner. His name comes back to me. There have been so many, and the names, they come and go. But Eric Garner, video was there in his situation. We saw what happened per the video. Unfortunately, there was no video there in Michael Brown's situation. There was no video to see. And therefore, all that that we had to go off, or the authorities for that matter, the authorities, therefore we, because they fed us information. All that we had to go off was what they told us. And then now, because of the situation of body cameras being on police personnel, we do now see we do now see, well, I shouldn't say we, but more so the majority of people in this country now see what black people have always been seeing and saying. In essence, that police do lie, that they'll do the most egregious act and then lie about it, right in your face, right in your face. And you can stand there telling them, no, that's not what happened. I saw what happened. And then, as we know, when you come off like that, then you yourself are in trouble. They want to then, you know, put you in handcuffs and haul you away, I guess, to intimidate you into changing your version of what you had seen. But anyway, the body cameras, well, at least for these other things that are taking place after Michael Brown, the body cameras are in a lot of areas of policing in this country, a lot of states and cities, and I guess we could say municipalities, as is referred to more so in the Missouri area, or maybe in the Ferguson area. I'm not sure how they go with that. But police body cameras are on police personnel more so now than before. And we're beginning to see just how outrageously police can lie. We saw, case in point, what happened in South Carolina. That cop there, when he had shot that guy in the back, he claimed the guy had tried to take his taser, but there was some guy who videoed what had happened, and then we saw what happened, that how the cop just outright lied. But at least in that case, that cop had been arrested. He's still in jail now, from what I understand. Matter of fact, after that Charleston shooting with that person, I understand that him and that cop are cellmates. No, not cellmates exactly, but their cells are close to each other. So they are at least both incarcerated currently. And then also we just had a recent situation about 2 weeks back there in also Cleveland, Ohio, well, not Ohio, but Cincinnati, Ohio, with that Sam Dubois. The body camera was there and showed what actually happened, or more so we were shown what actually happened. The cop had put his version out as to what happened, and then we were shown, the video from his own body camera was released. And we see how outrageously that police person just lied. Just lied. But again, it's to be seen what is to happen now that the body cameras are here. It's to be seen what happens when these persons are brought into a courtroom situation. We are now going to see how much credibility, maybe that's the wrong word, but I'll just say, because the evidence itself is credible. How can it not be credible? We see what happened. Anyway, so I don't want to use the word, we're now going to see if the evidence from the body camera is credible, but more so we're going to see how much credibility is given to what is seen per those body cameras, and which in turn will indicate how these people are processed in our justice system. Well, really, they call it the criminal justice system, but I'm going to leave that word criminal out for right now. And I'm just going to say it as I said it. We're going to see how these people will be processed in our justice system, because in a real sense, we are looking to see that justice will take its course in these situations. Indeed, we are. So, still on this article here, it says here that, the anniversary also has sparked renewed protests, though ones much smaller than those a year ago. A few hundred people gathered outside Ferguson Police Headquarters Saturday night, but despite some tense moments in which the crowds taunted police, no arrests were made. That was a good thing, but then again, speaking into that, the protests that are in fact going on. Well, let me not say what's going on, but let me just stick to what I just read there about how a crowd of a few hundred people, so it said, gathered outside the Ferguson Police Headquarters and taunted police. But then again, let me be cautious in taking what I'm reading from this article at face value. I say that because we ought to be aware that much of our media, established media, more so prints or writes, and thereby tell us what they are told per authorities, per police. You know, you've heard about police reporters being on the police beat. So no doubt what I'm reading here, more so than not, comes from one of these reporters, people reporting on that issue. They talk about how the crowd taunted police. In a real sense, we don't know if that's true or not. But anyway, speaking into that taunting situation, because per the media, the visual media, we have seen that does take place. And I just wonder, in a real sense, you know, why the people do that? Because in a real sense, I don't see the necessity for that. And then again, stuff such as that can only further antagonize the police. Because in a real sense, I don't think that that we should be about, or I don't think that the so-called movement people, personnel, should be about getting those whom they're leading or getting their followers to actually be up in the police person's face, you know, and as it says, taunting them, because that can't really lead to anything good. Because in my opinion, such people, well, I don't want to go too much into what I'm about to say here, because we are shortly coming up on our music break at 5 after the hour. But I will begin that thought. Yes, I will. I will begin that thought by saying that I think it's not a good policy for the leaders of these movements to have the people up there doing stuff like that, because as I said, it can't really do any good, and it more so than not only aggravates the situation worse than what it is. So we're going to have our second break in a very few seconds here, and I'm going to at least put out the title of the song, the name of the person of the song, and it is 5 After Hour now. And the song is from Bobby V featuring Michonne and Jay Owens, Freaking You. So this is Bobby V featuring Michonne and Jay Owens, Freaking You. Here we go. Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morell's Dollhouse Radio. We just heard a song from Bobby V featuring Michonne and Jay Owens entitled Freaking You. That was Bobby V featuring Michonne and Jay Owens with their song Freaking You. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you want to call in and do want to talk, do press 1 when prompted to do so by the automated voice. And right now we're still on the issue of the one-year anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown. Okay. And as I was saying lastly, I was talking about how this article is talking about how the people had gathered in front of the police station there in Ferguson, Missouri, and the article says that the crowd was taunting police. And I guess taunting probably was, as had been shown in previous clips from last year, or of last year when we were watching it, how the people were standing, I guess, behind the police barricade and just shouting loudly, as the police. And as I was saying lastly before the break, I don't feel that that's necessary. In a real sense, that's a waste of time, a waste of energy, and then again, precious, I'll say for lack of a better word or term, precious vocal energy, vocal power. I mean, because those cops standing there, they're just standing there. They're hearing, but they're just standing there. That's their job for the moment. And as I was saying last week, we have to consider and remember and really be cognizant of the situation that police, like other people in other jobs, they work an 8-hour or 12-hour shift. And if we're busy at the workplace, time goes faster than if we're not busy at the workplace. So for those police people to stand there, just stand there, and hear people shout and scream at them, hell, they're getting paid. And more so than not, overtime. Overtime pay. Well, people who work, we know when you do overtime, you get more money than you wouldn't if you didn't work overtime. And we can only imagine how much money that overtime might be, because the police, they might even have a situation or a stipulation in their overtime policy concerning hazardous duty pay. And that's even more money concerning overtime, but that's another issue. But I'm just talking into that like that concerning, you know, the futility, in my opinion, of the leaders of these marches having their followers go to these points and just stand there and shout at the police. It don't, well, really, to me, it don't make sense. But then again, that's just me as an individual. But then again, I'm not a part of that movement. But perhaps those who are part of the movement, they see some, how can I put it, they see some benefit in doing something such as that. I guess to them, they might feel that it's a way that the people in the movement can let off frustration, you know, let off their pent-up emotions, their pent-up rage. Because, matter of fact, Dr. King, when he was around, God bless him, let him rest in peace, he had said concerning the movement back then, he had said that, you know, like a lot of people are upset about black people of that day marching in the streets and, you know, having these sit-ins and these pray-ins. But he was saying, you know, hey, let the people do these things. Because if the people don't do these things, their anger, their frustrations will be released in other forms. And no doubt those other forms may be much more violent than just walking down the street or just praying, kneeling down and praying in at the feet of police people. So he's saying, you know, well, when the people want to do these things, let them do these things, because these are, in a real sense, for lack of a better word or term, these things are prohibitors to violence, or if not violence per se, these things are prohibitors to other actions that may not be as, well, peaceful. So, but maybe that's why these organizers of these demonstrations, you know, encourage their followers to do these things, you know. Or then again, we could look at it at the other extreme end, wherein these people who do those things stand there and scream at the police as they do. For we know, these people may be agent provocateurs. I mean, you know, having read some history or been told some history about the COINTELPRO program of the 1960s, wherein our government had instituted an actual policy to disrupt and neutralize black organizations by having them infiltrated by police agents and other functionaries, or just snitches. Yes, not just police personnel per se, but also snitches, you know? And they would have people doing things that people wouldn't normally do, you know, but people with a normal mental, how can I put it, these agent provocateurs, they would have normal people doing things that normal people wouldn't normally do in that kind of a situation. Who knows? A normal person might want to just go there and stand around, you know, just to stand there so that their presence is recognized as being there. It may be one, it may be 100. But then again, they can just stand there quietly. They could do that too. Because in a real sense, the same effect is brought about. There's a mass movement there. There's a mass of individuals there. And who knows what might happen. So it's best to proceed with caution. You know, step cautiously. Because in a real sense, when that number of people come out, 50 or 100, there's no telling what might happen. The slightest word can set the people off in a negative direction from either side. And then again, if you have that agent provocateur in the midst, it's bound to be for the negative. So, you know, that's that situation with people, the organizers of these marches. I mean, we don't really know what's going on. I mean, we have to be careful. We just have to look and observe and then see what's going on and then what happens. And then we read about what took place. But then again, we have to read various sources to find out really what took place, you know. So still on this article here, it also says that in New York, even in the state that I am, I'm not in the city of New York. I'm in one of the outer laying areas of New York. It says here that in New York, demonstrators lay on the Brooklyn pavement, maintaining the silence for a few moments before rising and joining others marching into Manhattan for another day, for another rally later in the day. Among those marching were a dozen people carrying giant banners reading Black Lives Matter. And then again, you know, I had also read in this article here wherein they're talking about tomorrow, I think, on Monday, having a, what do they call it? I think I read in this article, having a day of disruption tomorrow. Let me see if I have that here in the article also. Okay. Yes. There it is. Okay. I said there it is. I just have seen it. It says here also that organizers of some of the weekend activities have pledged a day of civil disobedience on Monday, but have not yet specified the details. So that's tomorrow. Organizers of the march or marches. It doesn't necessarily specify that it's just going to be in Ferguson, Missouri. It could be in any state in the country where this day of civil disobedience is to take place. But again, they have said that what this civil disobedience will entail, that hasn't been specified as of yet. But no doubt we'll see tomorrow. And then again, going back into what I was saying about the leaders of these marches and these demonstrations, it's just a wonder, you know, what type of civil disobedience it might be. Because it might be the followers of this Black Lives Matters movement, protest. It might be a situation wherein they are told to just lay down in the street to block traffic. You know, I don't, I'm not a part of this movement, or I don't think I would be a part of that kind of movement, because I want to back up in saying something that I wasn't going to say earlier, but before I lose my train of thought when I do that, I'm going to write down what I was going to say before breaking off to go back into what I was going to say. What I was going to say earlier is about, you know, the demonstrators, as this article had mentioned, about taunting the police. You know, in a real sense, we really don't know what kind of mindset that police person does have for us to be taunting them like that. And again, I mean, like anything can happen. Who knows? One of those cowards, they may excuse me, they might come to the point wherein, you know, the shouting, they might take it to be, you know, offensive and then again abusive. Who knows? They just might fire their weapon. And then what? Somebody is shot and or killed unnecessarily. And why? I guess we could say because of the planners of these marches not taking into consideration the malfunctioning of the people that they're protesting against, they don't take into consideration the malfunctioning of their mental processes. That should be something that should be considered. But unfortunately, it's not. And it's obvious, and it's obvious that it's not, because the organizers of these protests have their followers doing such. Like I said, no. I wouldn't be out there like that, because for one thing, I'm very much aware of, well, I'll put it this way, I'm more so than not very much aware of the racist mindset. It's an aberrant mindset. It's unpredictable. It's an unpredictable and hostile and violent and vicious mindset. It actually is. And a lot of us don't know that yet. A lot of us. Perhaps there's too many of us who don't know that as of yet, that the racist mindset is hostile, is vicious, is animalistic when it comes to us, those of us whom they want to make their victim. I'll even go further and say they're prey. Yes, they're prey even. It's awful. And again, well, I won't go there. But anyway, so going back to what I was saying earlier about this day of civil disobedience. It's just a wonder as to what this civil disobedience might entail, you know, because as I was saying before, I went off into that other thing I was just talking about. I was saying how they could want their followers to, you know, just lay down in the street, blocking traffic. And I don't think that's a good thing, because again, you might have one of those aberrant-minded individuals who just run somebody over. And matter of fact, that did happen in Ferguson last year when the protests were, you know, in their initial stages. It was said that, and I think it was some political person, a congressperson or a city council person, some bastard ran them over. So again, people don't realize, these people in these protests, they don't really realize the mindset of those whom they are protesting against. And that's a danger right there. That really is a danger. So it's to be seen what type of civil disobedience is called for. You know, but then again, as I was saying, I'm not one who would be a part of that kind of situation. I mean, well, I just, you know, I won't say that yet. I'll come back to that. But I will say though that I do feel that to lay down in the middle of the street to disrupt, you know, ongoing traffic, I don't feel that that's a good thing. I really don't. I really don't. And I don't feel that it really gets our point across. I said our point across. And more so, I should say that I don't feel that it really gets the point across of what they're trying to get across. Because one thing among other things is that kind of tactic can only cause hostility. Well, the hostility is there anyway. I know that. I know the hostility is there anyway. But again, I guess I'll say to that racist mind set, I mean, that can only aggravate that person even more. And then again, because that kind of person would feel, you know, why am I being targeted? I had nothing to do with what they're protesting against or about. Why are they interrupting my day? Can I just get to work? Can I just go on to where I'm going without these people being in my way? I don't have time for, you know, so, you know, stuff like that. So all I'm saying there is that, you know, I wouldn't go along with that kind of tactic, and I wonder why that kind of so-called tactic is being introduced into the current movement that's going on. Because also it reminds me of something my mother had told me back in the 60s when I was talking to her about, so I guess I must have known something even back then. I was like maybe 8 or 9 years old, and I was talking to my mother about the NAACP, because I knew about that then. I guess maybe I had heard my mother and her other her grown up friends talking about it, and I had to ask my mother if, you know, if they were going to do anything or if they did anything. And my mother has said, well, the NAACP is talking about going out to the airport and laying down, you know, so no planes can land. And matter of fact, I recall having, you know, grown up, I recall when I had read the autobiography of Malcolm X. Malcolm X spoke about that particular tactic that was conceived, although I don't think they carried it out because the people weren't for that. Because, I mean, come on, an airplane coming in for a landing, it can't stop so quickly. God bless the people who knew that. So therefore, they didn't do that. But the thing was, though, that like that was offered as a tactic for the movement, a tactic to, I guess, raise consciousness. Yes, I'll just say it like that because I almost said that tactic was put forth to raise whose consciousness? You know, because no doubt it wasn't to really raise the consciousness of black people, but more so that kind of tactic was put in place, no doubt, to raise the consciousness of white people. You know, I guess, you know, and then again, coming back to now, them wanting to lay on the freeway to block traffic. I mean, the people of the movement, they know what's going on, but I guess for them, they're trying to raise the consciousness of the people in that area. And it's obvious that they don't care. So I mean, new thinking ought to be brought in. That's also something that I also think that new thinking. But okay, I think I've overtalked here. We're gonna have to go into a break. Let me see here. Yes. So good thing I happened to check my clock because we are going to have our 26 after the hour break from Takara Hamilton entitled All In. So this is Takara Hamilton. Well, the song All In. Here we go.
Slicks. Amsterdam.com.
All in. You ain't never got a question what it was or what it is. Baby, you're a blessing. You are everything I need and more. You ain't never gotta worry about me loving you. You are all I want. You know I'm all yours. When you're not here, it's like I'm lost with no clue. It's crazy but amazing, I'm so into you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're born to know. If you are my love, I got it for you. You gotta be all in. Wanna be, cause I'm all in. Love, you sure to be with me. All in. Give you all my love, I got it for you. All in.
Best in quality beats today.
I hope
today.
To be forever, forever and another lifetime. What we got is oh so special. You hold the key to my heart, I know. I never gotta worry about you hurting me. Trust and loyalty, you give that to me. Can't you see that you're my missing puzzle piece? It's crazy but amazing, I'm so into you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're born to know. If you are my love.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. And our caller number is, but first of all, let me tell you who we just heard singing this song. That was Takara Hamilton from her song entitled All In. Takara Hamilton, All In. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And if you want to talk in the show, do press 1 when prompted to do so by the automated voice. So that said, we're going back into this issue of the anniversary of the killing of Michael Brown. And lastly, I was talking about our being employed by the leaders of this movement. And I just feel that by this time, other thoughts or a new method of protesting, I'm going to say a new method of protesting, a different thought pattern should be here by now, because we ought to see by now that these things don't work. These marches and laying in and going to, some even have the term now, white spaces. What they mean by that is the movement or people of the movement going into areas where white people more so patronize, or most, I guess I'd say, where exclusively white people patronize, and go in there and disrupt that setting, such as people eating dinner, you know, and all of a sudden some individuals from this Black Lives Matter movement or Hands Up, Don't Shoot movement just go into that space and start chanting things, you know. I mean, how really is supposedly the people whose consciousness that we're trying to raise going to feel in such a setting? I mean, what type consciousness What type consciousness are we putting into the mind of that person or those people whose evening we have just interrupted? What's their mindset going to be? I mean, it doesn't really fit the pattern of what I would say. I don't think it really fits the pattern of what is being what is hoping to be accomplished. But again, that's my opinion. But then again, like I said, I'm thinking because I wouldn't really be down to do something such as these people are being told to do. Because there's always a thing about, respect. Even in the midst of struggle, maybe I'm not making sense in saying that, but there ought to be a thing about respect, or maybe that's the wrong word. But maybe a better way to think on this is that one ought to always be conscious of what they're doing and why they are doing what they're doing and where it's best to do what they are doing. And also, you know, how is this going to affect the people that we are trying to convince or see our point of view? You know, all these things have to be or should be taken into consideration. I mean, surely it takes thought, but that's why we have minds to think about what we're doing and why we are doing it. You know, but I guess, again, we all think differently on these issues, you know. I guess that is the situation, because I'm one who wouldn't be out there doing something like that. I mean, but somebody got to do something, right? I guess that's also a mindset, that's a part of that mindset, that I guess better doing something than nothing, you know? And I'm just saying that kind of takes me into the political arena in reference to President Obama and his deal with the Iranians concerning, you know, nuclear proliferation. I mean, you know, they're trying to create a deal, and then you have some people talking about, I think is they use the phrase, a good deal. No. They say that a bad deal is better than no deal at all. Or do they say it the other way? That a bad deal is no deal at all. But compromise is necessary. I mean, we have to, you know, look at all sides of issues, and then, you know, proceed with a program, proceed with a platform, you know, to bring about, you know, the best results, you know. But again, I guess people, I mean, we all think differently, and I guess doing something is better than doing nothing. I guess some people say, well, yeah, you're just sitting there running your mouth, and what are you doing? Well, I haven't really heard anything that people are putting forth that's worthwhile to be doing that might bring about some kind of results or resolving of this this racial menagerie, so to speak. I haven't heard nothing put forth that I'd be willing to be down with. Okay, so that's about the end of that article there. Okay, because now I want to go on into, as of this week, because the anniversary of Michael Brown coming up, as we know, if we have heard about it, that police person, Darren Wilson, he gave some kind of an interview to the New Yorker magazine, and they were asking him things about that day. And he came off with some interesting things that he said that more so than not really revealed his racist mindset. Although he is a police person, but he says some pretty revealing things about his racist mindset. And one thing that was brought out in the article that I really that really perked my attention was when he talked about how working in black areas is fun. Yet it's such fun that he ends up killing somebody in a black area. But to him, in this interview, a year later, coming up on the anniversary of his killing Michael Brown, somebody talked to him about that day and his overall police functioning and his mindset, he's going to say that working in black neighborhoods is fun. How does he get that? I mean, how can he say something like that, especially considering what he did? It's just, well, I would say mind-boggling, but then again, no, when I consider the racist mindset, it's not mind-boggling at all. And it's not even strange that he would say something like that. Not at all. Not even strange. It should be, but knowing what I know, it's not strange at all. But it's just irksome and also bothering some that he would actually say something like that, and I guess really mean it. It's fun, he said, to work in black areas. And that he'd rather work in a black area than a white area. Because he also says something about he has greater discretionary powers. I mean, his ability to use more discretion is given him, not just him, but other police personnel also in black areas than in white areas, as if saying that if he were working in a white area, his ability for using his own discretion would be seriously curtailed, seriously limited. But yet, because he's working in a black area, his powers of discretion are heightened. In other words, he can do what the fuck he want to do in a real sense, which again is just outraging, and it should be a telltale factor to these people in the Black Lives Matter movement and in the Hands Up, Don't Shoot movement. That should be a telltale factor that the way they're going is wrong. Having, you know, listening to somebody like this cop speak like he spoke in that article. But then again, I'm seeing now that to go into this article is going to take a whole lot of time, because I do in fact want to go on into the Black Lives Matter movement, is the phrase racist, along with other things within that parameter. But also, one thing that I do want to say also concerning this article, in terms of mindset, the mindset of this person, this Darren Wilson. I don't like seeing his face is here on the article that I'm looking at, but I kind of got it blocked out. I'm one of those people that do stuff like that. You know how some people will, you know, something happened with them and someone else that they may have grown up with, and they have taken a picture, and then something happens and whatever, and then they'll go and get that picture and cut that other person out. I've seen that done before, and I said, damn, so what you gonna do with that picture now? And don't you know that person put that picture right back in the photo album with the other person cut out? That was outrageous. I saw that done on a number of occasions. Long story there. But anyway, the mindset of this person, Darren Wilson, it was spoken about. He happened to have spoken about his mother, or his mother was brought up in the interview, and it was said basically about how she was a criminal. She was a check forger. An actual criminal. And I don't recall if the article has said that she was eventually caught. But anyway, Darren Wilson had even said that he had to have two bank accounts, you know, to avoid having his mother go into his account. So he was thinking in terms of, you know, protecting himself from his mother. And therefore he had one bank account where he had all his money, and another bank account where he had the least of his money. And he let his mother know about that one, because he knew his mother would go in and take his money like she took other people's money. But yet, I guess, in a sense, he kind of understood that. And at the same time, he really saw nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, put that same scenario to a black person, and he would probably see that black woman as a dirty, low, filthy maggot and all that kind of nonsense. But yet, there his mother was doing the same thing. But I guess for her, he had excuses for it. But like, you know, for those people in the area wherein he patrolled and where he said it was a totally different issue, a different story completely. So don't want to spend all too much time on that, as I said. So going on into the Black Lives Matter movement, is the phrase racist? Excuse me. I pose that question there because to some people, I would even say to racist people, that phrase is racist. Black Lives Matter to them is racist. First off, I'll say it like that. But then again, as I had said, I am in fact aware of why the racist person would say that the phrase Black Lives Matter is racist. That's because to the racist, anything or any time that a black person mentions black to that racist person, that's racist. Like case in point, let us take, more so anything that is beneficial to, let us say, blacks or solely about blacks. To the racist-minded individual, that's racist. And I was going to say, case in point, take the affirmative action program. That was, the idea was put forth in the 60s because it was primarily designed to benefit black people. And as I'm saying, and it's true, primarily it was designed to benefit black people for past grievances and for past injustices. But yet the racist person came up and said, you know, that's racism. Because, you know, you talk about how, blacks are being excluded from this and that because of white people being racist. Now you're going to give something to black people and exclude all other people. That's racist. But in a real sense, it is not. It was not. But again, because, well, the racists are in control, I guess we can say, of print and the media. In other words, what we think or don't think, they have convinced a lot of people that, yes, affirmative action is racist, which doesn't make any sense. But there we have it. I'm talking now because I have done something wrong here on my computer, but that's another issue. Where I'm bound to get it back to get it back right. Okay, so yes, I got it back right now. So as I was saying, you know, they're saying that like the slogan Black Lives Matter is racist primarily because of the word black. That's what it's all about. The word Black Lives, because it's directed primarily to and about black people. The racist mindset is that that's a racist pronouncement. And then they even come forth with, it just ought not be Black Lives Matter. But what about all lives? All lives matter. And then some people say that in a real sense, that is in fact a disparagement of the term and also an insult to black people who came up with the term. Because those people are saying that you ought not just say that black lives matter, because it's more than black people who are in the country. So therefore, they're saying that you ought to expand the phrase to include it to say that all lives matter, which isn't, well, let me say it this way so it don't sound confusing. But what they're saying there is true, but at the same time, it's not true. It is true in the context of the phrase that all lives do matter, which is true, but at the same time, it's not true in the context of the phrase in which the phrase had come about, in which the phrase was coined. Because the Black Lives Matter slogan, phrase, came about because primarily of police unwarranted killings of black people. Of black men, women, children. And you can't, well, that fact can't be denied. It can't be denied that black men, women, and children are killed in a disproportionate amount or a disproportionate number than whites are. I know at one point me and my co-host were talking about this, and then he was of the opinion that whites are killed by police too, which is true. Can't deny that. But it's also true that blacks are killed at a much higher rate. I guess we can say per their portion in the population. You see, I have to say it like that because to some people that's the only way that it will make sense. That based upon, you know, our numerical numbers, we shouldn't be killed at the rate in which we are killed by police. Thinking logically, because there are more white people in this country, it would seem logical that more white people would be killed by police primarily because there's more of them than of us. But yet, that's not the situation at all. The reverse is true. The less becomes more. Now, I mean, in some instances, no. Not even in some instances. That's an anomaly in a real sense, wherein less becomes more. It's not correct. It's not even logical. So that's the situation there that we have that. And also concerning Black Lives Matter. I mean, when we go, all right, I guess I'm really talking of this from the perspective of a racism, number one. Because if it wasn't for racism, the phrase slash term Black Lives Matter wouldn't be in existence. wouldn't need to exist. But yet, because of racism, the phrase Black Lives Matter has come about. But also, when we think about, okay, Black Lives Matter, I guess we should also think about why it is, why it really is that this phrase has come about. And it's sad to say, but true to say, that this phrase, Black Lives Matter, has only come about because of an awareness by those who brought it about that Black lives do not matter in this country. We could say throughout the world, but that's another issue. We're in this country, we're in America. And again, it's sad, but it's true that the phrase Black Lives Matter has only come about primarily because those who brought it about know, are cognizant of the fact that in this country, because of racism, Black lives actually do not matter to the majority of the people in this country. And then again, to our government that is established over us in this country. And then to go to bring it down a scale, I said a government, that's a bit vague, but we can see by the interactions of police persons in areas wherein we live. Now, this is just concerning the police that I'm talking about right here. But at the same time, the condition of Black lives not mattering is pervasive throughout our social structure. It's almost, it's almost like our social structure is a social structure of death for those of us who are Black in this country. Granted, others are affected by it, but not so much as Black people are. Again, our social structure is even somewhat ludicrous to call it a social structure. Because when we think of the word social, we think about, you know, being social, being sociable, being agreeable in a social setting. But then again, that's going elsewhere when I'm talking about being agreeable in a social setting. But just the word social itself pertains to basically people interacting with one another. Social, being sociable. So we talk about a social structure. That's supposed to be a structure that is so sociable. And our social structure, when it comes to Black lives, and this social structure, this social setting, as I said, is obvious to those who coined this phrase that Black lives do not matter. And thus, and therefore, the phrase has come about to impress, so they think, upon somebody that consideration ought to be given to Black lives, as if really somebody has to be told that. As if really, by now, somebody don't really know that. Because we can say that there was a time wherein in this country, it was evident that Black lives didn't matter. The Black lives weren't given the degree of respectability and also acceptability that it should have been given. And I'm also talking about, we can say the period of slavery, that we can even come up to the period of segregation. And then again, even the system past the system of segregation, which we are now in, which many people call the system of mass incarceration. Again, Black lives are, as is being said, funneled from the grave. I shouldn't laugh, but it's just ludicrous because this is a situation that we find ourselves in, from the grave into the prison system. And as I was saying in another show, that in a real sense, those of us who don't find ourselves in that prison setting, we have been fortunate. We have been lucky. Granted, there are a lot of Black people who are in prison, like other people, and they belong in prison. I have to say that. Yes, they do. And again, there are some people out here now who belong in prison, white as well as black, but that's another issue. But then again, I'm more so speaking in terms of like those of us who, well, those of us who just get or got caught up in a net, so to speak, and then found ourselves in that setting because of having been caught up in a net, because of the way our social structure is that places no value on black lives. Just saying, what I just said there about being caught up in a net and then finding ourselves in a prison in a prison setting, and or even in a setting of detainment, being a detainee, being an arrestee, in the sense of just coming out of your house and hopping into your car and driving down the street and all of a sudden pulled over just because you're black. And let's just say, all right, hypothetically, you may have actually forgotten to bring your license, because you figure, I'm just going to the store, let me jump in my car, go to the store, jump back in, and right back home. You didn't bring your license, and then now you don't have license, and then now you know you can't drive without a license, so you hauled off to jail because you didn't have a license, because you were stopped. And as they call it today, because you were racially profiled, because of a social structure that allows racial profiling, because we live in a racist social structure which can't help but stimulate a situation of racial profiling. And then there you are, you find yourself now in jail, and in a real sense, to back up a bit, in a real sense, that's just like you haven't been kidnapped. Your family don't know where you are until you make a phone call, and that's if you're allowed to make a phone call that particular night. Who knows? You might can make that phone call to the next day. So therefore, in a real sense, you can't help but feel that, damn, I've been just snatched off the street, kidnapped in a real sense, and now here I am sitting up in a jail cell. Wow, I mean, this is the way it is. So again, even being caught up in that net like that, because again, black lives don't matter per this social structure. But I guess I've gone elsewhere than just dwelling on the situation of, is the phrase black lives matter racist? But again, I had said that in a real sense, the phrase itself only comes from the structure that we find ourselves living in, because it is racist. So in a sense, we could say like Black Lives Matter. I'm not really sure really what kind of phrase that is, other than a phrase that is supposedly geared toward convincing someone who evidently don't feel that your life matters. You feel that you have to keep throwing this up in their face. My life does matter. My life does matter. But in a real sense, we've been doing this ever since we've been in this country for the last, three centuries? Because they say that we came here, some say, okay, the first slave ship landed here in 1619, and it's now the year 2015. So if by estimates that is correct, we've been here now like four centuries. Outrageous. And we're still talking about how black lives matter. And only because of a racist social structure that refuses to acknowledge the fact that black lives do matter. Actually, now that I'm coming up on like a minute left, and that's going to be the show in about a minute. But I just wanted to bring up this thing about Black Lives Matter, and I was hoping that I would get some feedback, you know, on this issue of Black Lives Matter, being that it's up in the news so much. But then again, also, it's also evidently true that, life is life. And with that being said, I'm out of time now, so I'm going to say Urban Society signing off, and hope you all listen in next week. So everybody have a good night. Goodbye.
I'm caught up in the nightlife, surrounded by a bunch of motherfuckers that I don't even know. Who the fuck are you? And where the fuck do you come from? That's the only question I ask. So you gotta tell me, where the fuck do you come from? Cause I don't even know you at all.
This is for the niggas from my city tryna diss. I keep three hoes with me. Merry Christmas in this bitch. I'm cold as the North Pole, hot as a Miami summer. For the love of that money, and my head creeping on the gum up. Playboy penthouse, I be on that player shit. Graphic tees and Levi's, I be on that skater shit. $100 bills, yeah, that's what I tip the waiter with. This is my time, you got to wait a bit. I'm ready. They hating on me, I do it bigger than Shaq. Shoes. Or could it be the fact that I run it like track shoes? I be making moves, you standing still as a statue. Your money tight like skinny jeans on a fat dude. I got a lot of inventory, I be stocking up. Black diamond chain, got a neck full of hockey puck. That fire herb got me floating like a cruise. All I'm trying to figure out is who. Been away from here, I'm flying high above the clouds. Life's great, I'm straight, living like a boss. And you already know. First class flight, yep. Trips to Jamaica.
What else?
Taylor made denim, pocket full of paper.
Damn.
Bought Molly weed, scent blowing on exotic. Maybach Benz, bad bitch from the traffic. Monday I'm in Paris, Tuesday I'm in Cali. Wednesday night I'm in Hawaii, Thursday morning I'm in Tally.
Yeah.
Top flow presidential panoramic views. I'm winning like Charlie Sheen, ain't no way that I can lose.
Lego.
Louis Vuitton, Lakers, infinity swimming pools. I'm drinking that rosé, you niggas be sipping brews.
Hold up.
I don't mean to brag on them like champagne bottles. I be popping tags on them. Got a 7-tray candy painted with the rag on it. Dashboard got a whole lot of cash on it. Shout out that nigga Nelly, bitch, I spit that cut. Your grandma, Hall of Fame, nigga. Joe Montana. Up in the way from here. I'm flying high above the clouds. Light straight, I'm straight, living like a boss. And you already know I'm about my pain, but I keep a whole lot of money on me. I got the rosé on ice, taking first class flight. It feels so good to be living that life.
I got my bitch right clean, the murder hoes can't stand them. Black and white Charger, that's a Kung Fu Panda. Slide through the hood. Foreign made NASCAR, lying in the engine, so I call it Madagascar. I give them something to remember. King of the jungle, all them bitches call me Simba. I'm on that white club and I'm gone to November. Getting pussy and money, the only thing on my agenda. Causing dates on my calendar, all up in Canada. I hop out that Camaro, then I come back in the Challenger. Click, click, pose for the camera. I work for myself, bitch, I don't need no manager. My weed from California, my bitches from overseas. I'm trying to fill up rivers by any nature I'm in. Y'all bitches be counting zeros, I'm adding up commas. And I ride with a cannon like I'm DJ Drama. Up in the way from here, I'm flying higher.